All right, Jehovah, say good morning. Let's begin. All right. Jehovah, say good morning. Let's begin. So we're starting in Yeretz Hashem, new paragraph today. So today's daf is Lamed. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Chof Tes Omud Beis. I'm sorry, thank you. Today's shir is sponsored by Aaron and Shane Kelman. In memory of Avram's mother, Sarah Brina Bas Yoshua Heschel, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Amen. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi kadiyayim mimakom lamakom, lo yivyein bisal ubekuba. So we'll say if a person is bringing jugs of wine from one place to another, a person should not bring them in a box, or I should say in a basket or in a box. Now Rashi explains over here, I need wine. I need wine. I mean, it's just a general statement, right? So again, I need wine for my Simchas Yom Tov. So what happens? So now, let's say I want to bring a number of bottles at once. I don't just want to bring, I mean, one bottle is not enough. So I want to bring a couple of bottles. So what do I do? Instead of making multiple trips, I just want to put everything in a box or in a basket, and I want to transport a bunch of bottles together. So the Mishnah says one should not do that on Yom Tov. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lo yivim b'sal b'kupa. Lo se shalosh v'arba b'soch ha'kupa. V'yisoim. Mishum denira k'maisa d'chol. Lo seis masos. Why are both saying? Because it has the appearance of weekday activities that you're transporting large amounts of, large number of items. So to transport a bunch of bottles in a box just has the appearance of weekday activity. I will say, we've discussed this concept of appearance of weekday activity a number of times. Obviously, it's not a malacha. It's not a malacha per se. But lamaise, at the end of the day, we try to avoid things that just have the appearance of weekday activity. Okay, next. About maybe hu al ksefo. What you can do is you could go ahead and carry it on your shoulder. Meaning you could carry one or two bottles on your shoulder. Rashi points out, because it's clear you're only doing that because you need it for Yom Tov, all the fun of, or for that matter, you could go ahead and carry it in front of you in your hand. And similarly, if somebody has to bring straw, I will say, now, why would you need straw? Either Rashi points out for your fire, fuel for your fire, or for your animal. You should not go ahead and carry the bundle behind you, because again, that has the appearance of transporting the object in the way you do so during the week. But you just bring it in your hand. So also the idea is, the common theme is, don't transport things on Yom Tov. It's not an issue of carrying, because remember, on Yom Tov, you're permitted to carry things that have a Yom Tov purpose. The idea over here is, Uvda Decholet has the appearance of weekday activity. Therefore, don't carry the box of wine the way you normally would. Just take a couple of bottles on your shoulders. Don't carry the straw, which you normally would, behind your back or on your back. Rather, just carry it in your hand. The Mishnah goes on. Umaschin, the top of Lamed, Umaschin ba'aremas hateven. Furthermore, you can go ahead and you can begin a new pile of straw. Rashi says over here, Umaschin ba'aremas hateven, lahasik, ba'afa pishlo zimna mi ba'odyom, v'lo haya rogi lahasik mimena, v'hashta mashma d'lesli mukta. So we'll say the case over here is the following. Let's say I have a brand new pile of straw, and I did not go ahead and use that straw before Yom Tov, and I didn't designate it for use on Yom Tov. The Mishnah says I'm still permitted to go ahead and begin using from that straw pile on Yom Tov. Now Rashi points out the inference from this is that literally less than mukta, we don't hold the mukta. Now we know, of course, whenever the Gemara uses that phraseology of we don't hold the mukta, that's not to be understood literally, but rather what? We take a more relaxed view of mukta in that we assume that an item need not be designated for use prior to Yom Tov, but as long as it's technically usable on Yom Tov, one is permitted to do so. Avalo be'etim sheba mukta. But you may not use the wood in the mukta. Now I will say, what is mukta? Rashi says over here, Avalo be'etim sheba mukta. Rechava sha'achori habatin kruya mukta. Hashem shi mukta la'achor. Ve'in nechnatsa v'yotzim batadir. V'sham nosnim etzim v'chol davar she'in daito lito ad zman meruba. So I will say, interesting that the mukta was the name of like a, for lack of a better term, it's like a shed. It's a shed. It was an area that people had in the back of their house. It didn't necessarily have to be an enclosure. Area that people had in the back of their house where they would keep stuff that was not used on a regular basis. So the Mishnah says that if you had wood in your mukta prior to Yom Tov, you may not go to the mukta on Yom Tov and go ahead and take that wood. The Gemara will discuss, by the way, how these two last statements seem to contradict each other. Says the Gemara, Tana, Imi efshar l'shanos mutar. So I'll say, so essentially, what's the take-home message of the Mishnah? The take-home message of the Mishnah is, whenever possible to deviate from the way in which you do things during the week, that is always preferable on Yom Tov, meaning always preferable to deviate from what we call the Uvda Duchov, the normal weekday activities. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, I'm sorry, not yet. Let me read that again. The Mishnah's idea was that whenever you can deviate from the normal course of events, normal actions, you should do so. The Gemara says, Tana, we learned, im ef shalashanos mutter. If you can't change from the way in which things are normally done, then you could do things in a normative fashion. For example, Rashi says, Imiyef Shalashanos Kigon Shazimein Orchim Harbe. For example, let's say I invited a lot of company. Visarch Lahavi Harbe Biyachar Mutter. So most like, remember the Mishnah's case? So what does Mishnah say? Don't bring a box full of wine. Rather, what? Bring a bottle or two on your in your hands or on your shoulder. Let's say I have a lot of company. I need a lot of wine. So then again, the efficient way to transport a lot of wine is what? Is in the box. So in that case, again, you could transport it in the box. But so what the Mishnah is saying is, when you can change, you should change. When you can't change, you could do things in the normal fashion. So the Gemara says, Iskin Rava b'mechuzah. So Rava, for example, instituted some of these practices in mechuzah. Didaru b'duchka, something that was normally carried on the shoulder. So Rava said, on Yom Tov, Lidaru b'ragla, you should carry with a pitchfork. Lidaru b'ragla, something normally carried with a pitchfork. Lidaru b'agra, you should go ahead if you look at Rashi. Lidaru b'agra, Rashi says, Lidaru b'duchka, Masri sha'adam yachid nosiak seifo b'chol b'torech. In Baalei says, Osob Yom Tov, Lidaru Yom Tov, Kagon Chavis, Osak Malei Peros. So he says, Lidaru b'agra, did I skip over here? Let me say it again. If something that you normally carry with a pitchfork, so you should go ahead and didaru b'ragla lidaru b'agra. Excuse me. Look at Rashi. Lidaru b'ragla masri chavis kadosh regilin lasis also b'ragla lidaru b'agra. We'll say agra is a pole. Rashi says over here yisau b'yom tov b'shnei b'nei adam b'mot al kasvehem. So we'll say something you normally carry with a pitchfork, you should go ahead and yom tov carry with a pole that is normally carried by two people, and suspend the objects from that. The daru ba'agra, something that is normally carried with this pole. The daru ba'achpa, you should go and carry with an achpa. What's an achpa? So Rashi says over here, if you look, he says, the daru ba'agra, b'mot al-kasim b'yom tov, los says ba'achpa, mot b'yadeim. Achpa, Rav Osai, is a pole that's carried by one person. The daru ba'achpa, something that is normally carried on a pole that's held by one person. Nifro sutra, on Yom Tov, you should spread a kerchief over it, a sheet over it. So Rav said, the idea is what? What's happening? Rav is saying you should just carry these things in a different way than you do during the week. That's the idea. So if you normally do it like this, do it like this. You carry it on your shoulder, carry the pitchfork. Carry the pitchfork, normally carry with a pole with two people. Carry a pole with two people, carry a pole with one person. Carry a pole with one person, go ahead and spread a kerchief over it. The idea is do something that shows that you are deviating from the normal weekday way of doing this particular activity.
It has to be an easier, Rashi is saying it has to be an easier.
It just can't be any more tircha. It has to be at least an equal amount of tircha. Can't be more. V'im lo efshar, however, again, if it's not possible, shari, then again, you're permitted to go ahead and do it in the normative fashion. Da'amar mar, im e efshar v'shanos, it's actually Rashi says over here, Moshe, your point in that Rashi didaru ba'agra, the last couple of lines of Rashi is va'afal pi she'ino lahakel. Even though in reality, this does not make things any easier. I don't want to have to switch seats back there, right? So even though this doesn't make things any easier, mikomakom shinuihu ve'ino mar betorach b'shinuya. That's the difference. So we'll say again. Remember, Rava's intent over here is not necessarily to make the activity any easier. His idea is just to make it different. And as long as the difference does not result in any additional tircha, then it's a bona fide shinui. So the Gemara says, "Dim lo efshar." But again, but if you can't, then you do things in the normal fashion. Da amar mar imi efshar l'shanos mutter. Because we just said before that lemaisa, again, if you can't deviate from the normal way in which things are done, then you do them in the normal fashion. Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Osai is very interesting. Amar Rabbanan kima de efshar l'shanuyei mishaninen biyamatava. We've just got finished saying that the rabbis hold that to whatever degree you could do things differently on Yom Tov, we try to do things differently. Ay, v'hani nashi, de kamal yon chatzavai hu maya b'yom tova. Ay, but yet we see the women who fill up the barrels, or the barrels with water, or the buckets on Yom Tov with water. V'lo kamishnayon, and yet what? And yet they don't do any kind of shinui. They fill up the buckets, the barrels in the normal way, and they don't employ any kind of shinui. And yet, velo arminon lehu, velo midi. And yet, we don't go ahead and say anything to them. See here, Moshe, remember, so you have over here, you have, this is Rav Hanan Barava asking Rav Ashi. You just got finished saying that Lamaisa, you should really go ahead and employ a shinui when doing even these normative activities. But yet, we see the ladies fill up, the women fill up the barrels of water, and yet they don't use any kind of shinui. So, Amalei, Rav Ashi responds, Mishum de la Efshar, because the truth is, in that case, there's no real shinui that'll work. Why? Heichan le'aves. So what should we do? What kind of shinui would you suggest? Temalia b'chatz b'rabba, temalia b'chatz b'zuta. If you want to say that a woman normally uses a larger barrel, should on Yom Tov use a smaller barrel? Well, that doesn't make sense. Why? Kamav shabih lucha. Because Rabbi says, if she normally uses a larger barrel, and now you're going to make her use a smaller barrel, what in essence are you going to do? You're actually going to create more work. Why? Because it's going to require more trips, whether it's to the well or to the stream. So that doesn't make sense. The Malya Bachatz Bazuta, Timali Bachatz Barabbas. So maybe you want to see a woman normally uses a smaller barrel. Should a Yom Tov use a larger barrel? Well, that doesn't make sense either. Why? Kamaf Shei Bimasui. Because I will say, then what's going to end up happening? You're going to end up increasing her burden because now she's going to have to carry a larger barrel, a larger bucket. Tichasei Benechamta. She's Benechtama. Maybe you'll say during the week she uses an open barrel. And on Yom Tov, perhaps she should close the barrel, put a lid on the barrel. Zimnin dinafil va'asil la'asuye. Well, that's not helpful because sometimes the lid falls off and she'll come to carry it. Tiktere, and of course, again, remember the act of carrying it will be an act of additional tircha. Tiktere, I say, maybe you'll say she should tie the lid of the barrel onto the barrel. Zimnin demafsik va'asil la'miktere. There'll be times that what? There'll be times that it detaches. And she'll tie it back. And I will say again, depending on the circumstances, that act of tying could be problematic as well. Tifros sudra iluya. Maybe you'll see she should put like a sheet or some type of a sudra sheet on top of the bucket, just as a shinui. Zimnin dimit mish bemayo va'asili de schita. It could be that the cloth will fall into the water, become wet, and what? She'll come to wring it out, an act of schita. Hilchach lo efshar. Therefore, Abosa, you see over here why we leave the women alone. Because Lamaisa, again, in that case of the drawing of the water, there's actually no good shinui to be able to apply. We're best off just leaving things as is. Amarli Rava Barav Chanan La'abai. So Rava Barav Chanan said La'abai. Tina. Abosa, now this sugya, by the way, you'll notice over here, the Mesoras Hashas, we're going to have this in about a week or so. This is a great sugya, which we'll get into then. We're just going to mention it peripherally now. So the Gemara says, "Tanah." We'll learn later on. Ein mitapchin, ve'ein misapkin, ve'ein merakdin. You may not also say mitapchin. Rashi says means clapping. Misapkin is also clapping, but instead of clapping your hands against each other, it means hitting your hand against your leg. Ve'ein merakdin, and you may not dance. Now, both say these are all referring to things you may not do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So you can't clap with your hands, you can't clap against your leg, you can't dance. Rashi says over here, why not? So Rashi says, Meraktin beregel, v'kulam ne'esru mishum shvus. All of this is an issue because of shvus. Shvus means this is the Rabbanan. Gzeira shema yitakin klei shir. Out of a concern that what? One may come to go ahead and fix instruments. Fix instruments. So therefore, Chazal said you can't clap, you can't dance, out of a concern that you may come to fix instruments. So the Gemara says, "Ay, v'ha'ina de'kachazina de'avdinan ha'chi v'lam rinan lehu v'lo midi." Ay, but yet we see today people dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov, people clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet we don't say anything, right? We offer no words of rebuke for this practice. Armalegi responded to him, "You can take that a step further." A step further, he says, "Amalei ula tameich had amar rava lo leisiv inish apuma delechaya dilma menagder lechayfetz va'asla suyin." We'll say we learned this in Maseches Erevin and in Shabbos that a person should not sit at the edge of the lechi. Remember again, the lechi or the korah, the lechi is the vertical beam. Is the vertical beam that is at the edge of a mavoi, edge of an alleyway, that serves to demarcate the alleyway from the Rishus HaRabim. Right. You could carry in the alleyway, you can carry Rishus HaRabim. So Chazal said that you should not sit by the edge of the lechi, right? Why? Because you may come very easily just to go in and carry something into the Rishus HaRabim. And yet what? V'ha noshi d'shaklin chatzavaihu. And yet we see the women, again, it's the same thing with the women in the barrels. We see the women who sit with their barrels by the edge of the lechi, and yet what? And yet we don't say anything to them. Right? We don't say anything to them. So the Gemara says, we seem to have two cases over here. People can't go ahead. People can't go ahead and clap and dance, and yet again they do it and we don't say anything. People shouldn't sit by the edge of the lechi, and yet they do it and we don't say anything. Why not? So he said, Al Ella Hanach Lehem Yisra. Sometimes you have to leave the Jewish people alone. What does that mean? Mutov Shiu Shogin Va'al Yumaziden. Because sometimes it's better to go ahead and allow the people to be accidental violators than to be intentional violators. So we'll say what the Gemara seems to be saying is the following. If you look at Rashi, Hanach lahem, Rashi says, Hanach lahem, leave people alone. Bidavar sheher gilubo v'lo yachsu b'em. Sometimes you have to pick your battles. And you have to, there are going to be certain things that even if you point them out to people, they're not going to listen to you. So what do you do when you have something that person is doing wrong that they're simply not going to listen to you about? Hanach lahem, sometimes you have to leave them alone. And Rashi says, Mutuv shiasu shogigin. Shogigin, la'avor, kishiyedu v'lo yanichu b'kach. So sometimes you have to not rebuke people about what they're doing wrong when you know if they're not going to listen to you anyway. And at least if you don't rebuke them, then you could assume that what? You could assume that maybe they don't really know what it is that they are doing. And therefore, lemaisa, they're shogging and not mazid. So the Gemara suggests, hachanami, so to over here. Now, what's the over here, Abosai? What's the over here? The over here would be this situation. Would be the situation of the carrying without a shinui. So this would be also, again, remember how this whole sugi started, Rabosai? Remember, just to follow the train of thought, the Gemara began by telling us that Lamaisa, whenever you can do a shinui, you should try to do a shinui in order to avoid ovda dechol. The Gemara quoted the case of the women who draw the water, and yet you're not employing any kind of shinui. So the Gemara suggests, first answer the Gemara gives is that Lamaisa, there's no proper shinui that could be employed in that particular circumstance. The Gemara then gives a second answer, that what? That Lamaisa, and now the Gemara suggesting is, maybe there, even if there is a type of shinui, it's mutav shushogin vayu mazidin. You know what? They're not going to draw water differently. It's just the mitzvah. They're just not going to draw water differently. Why won't they draw water differently? Why not? Because that's what they're used to. Same reason why most people don't change the things that they do, even when we know that they're wrong, because that's what I do. So therefore, again, and he brings other examples of where people seem to engage in activities that are wrong, and yet what? And we don't say anything. Why? Because we employ the concept of Hanach Lem Yisrael. Sometimes you have to know if a person is not going to change their practices, better for them to be a shogig than to be a mason, and therefore don't say anything. So the Gemara says, "V'hani midi b'dirabah." Now the Gemara just qualifies this concept. When do we say that kind of just leave people alone, let them do what they're doing? That's with the dirabanan. That's with rabbinic law. Avah b'doraisa lo. But Rabbi said, when it comes to biblical law, we do not just say mutav shushogin v'ayu mazid. When it comes to biblical law, there's the mitzvah that we saw in this past week's parasha, which is what hocheach tocheach asami sefa. That you have to rebuke your fellow. You have to go, if somebody's doing something wrong, you must point out to the individual what it is exactly that they're doing wrong. So the Gemara says, that's not true. Velohi, actually incorrect. Lo shna b'doraisa, velo shna b'dirabanan. Lo armina luhu velo midi. The Gemara says, in fact, that's not correct. But rather, again, if you have a circumstance in which you know people are not going to listen, we actually don't say anything to them, both in matters of biblical law as well as rabbinic law. What's the Gemara's proof to that? This is amazing. Deha tosefes yom kippurim. Da'oraisu, because for the example of this is, Rabbi said, there's a biblical obligation to add on to Yom Kippur. Rashi says over here, Tosef Shama Kippurim, Shetarach Lahaschil Ulis Anasimba Od Yom. You're supposed to go ahead and begin fasting even by day. Da'oraisi, the Nafkalon, Mivinisimas Nafshosechem Betisha. The fact that the Torah says you should begin to afflict yourself on the ninth indicates to us that what? That there's a biblical obligation of Tosefes. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. But yet, va'achli v'shansu ad shechashecha. And yet we see that there are people who eat and drink all the way until nightfall. V'lo armina lohu v'lo midi. And yet we say nothing to them. So we'll say, you see from here that what? That the principle of hanach lehem liyisrael, leave the people alone, mutav shu shogin v'al yumazidim, better for them to be accidental sinners than intentional sinners, is a concept that even applies by biblical law. Now, I will say, just so you should know, again, this is a much more involved topic because this is a fundamental issue in terms of when do you rebuke people for wrongdoing. And when I say rebuke, I'm just using the biblical word. Rebuke sounds like a very stern word. When do you point out to people that they're doing something wrong versus when do you leave it alone? It's important to understand that the way the Rishonim understand this concept is even by the Oraisas, that's only by things that are not stated explicitly. So, for example, the Gemara's choice over here of, let's say, again, Tosefes Yom Kippurim, adding on to Yom Kippur, so that's not stated explicitly in the text. But things that are stated explicitly in the Torah, there is a mitzvah of hochacha, there is a mitzvah of rebuke, and we do not just simply say, better to be a shogig than to be amazing. So we could use that concept, better to be a shogig than to be amazing, in matters of rabbinic law, and even in matters of biblical law that are not stated explicitly. But in other areas that are stated explicitly, there's absolutely a mitzvah of hochiach tochiachas amisecha, which is an art form in and of itself of how to rebuke, how to deliver constructive criticism, how to inform a person that what they're doing perhaps is not the most correct way to conduct themselves. Again, that's a different discussion. But lamais, again, that's how we pass it. When it comes to the rabbanon's non-explicit biblical directives, we can employ this concept. Anything more explicit, lamais, so we do. So I also just point out, although this will be our sugya later on, Tosfos in Tanan in Mitabchin ve'imarakdin, only because we're not going to get, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that it's permitted to dance. So Tosfos points out over here, he says, if you look at the last two lines of Tosfos, the last three lines, actually, let's look at the whole thing. Perush Rashi, Shelo Yitakin Klishi. Rashi says, again, you can't dance, you can't clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because you may come to go ahead and fix instruments. Umil Didan Shari. Tosfos says, for us, clapping, dancing is permitted. The dafka b'yemehen, it's only applied in those days. Shayubikian la'asos kleishir. That Jabosai, the common man, actually knew how to go ahead and create utensils. Shayich lemigzar. Then you cast such a gzera. Avaledidan ein anubikian la'asos kleishir lo shayich lemigzar. But for us, we don't know how to construct or to repair instruments. The common person doesn't. And therefore, again, this gzera doesn't apply. And I will say again, which gets into a bigger discussion about I'm sorry?
What can you change?
Right, so that's, again, this gets into a much bigger discussion, which is not dafyomi, about when gzeros to rabbanon change, when gzeros to rabbanon don't change, which has to do with the different formulations of gzeros. Not all gzeros are formulated in the same way. Some gzeros are subject to change when circumstances change. Some gzeros remain on the books even when circumstances change. All of that is based on the various vehicles that Chazal employ for the creation of law, of rabbinic law. It's not haphazard, it's not random, it's actually very clear, again, in the way Chazal structured the takanos. Not for now, but good news is, Shabbos night, after Lechadodi, I look forward to dancing with all of you. All right, Vayter, says the Gemara. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that you could begin to go ahead and use a new pile of straw. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, Zos Omeres Maschilin Ba'utzar Tchila. So we'll say, what do you see from this statement? That you could begin to use, you could use things from storage on Yom Tov. That's what you see from here. You could use things to, again, remember, this pile of straw was something that was not started before Yom Tov, but yet you see that you could use items from storage on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's opinion this is from? Rabbi Shimon, the Leslie Mukta. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi also has a more relaxed view of Mukta. That according to Rabbi Shimon, an item need not be designated prior to Yom Tov for use. Rather what? As long as the item is usable, you could use it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Ema Sefi, look at the end of the Mishnah. Avalo Be'ezim Shem Mukta. Yeah, what did the end of the Mishnah say? That you may not go ahead and go and use wood from the Mukta, from the storage area in the back of your house. And yet, whose opinion does that reflect? Asan Rabbi Yehuda de Islay Mukta. Rabbosai, would seem to reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who has a stricter view of Mukta. Therefore, because these items were in storage, Lemaisa, that seems to mean that what? that, again, they were set aside for non-use. Therefore, you may not use them on Yom Tov. So we'll say, so what do you see? So we have a contradiction. On one hand, I could use the straw, which was, again, a new pile of straw that was not actively set aside for use, which would seem to reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. And yet the last part of the Mishnah said, I can't use the word in the Muktzah, reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, Hacha ba'arzi va'ashuchi askinon, the Muktzah machmaschi sarankis, va'afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. We'll say, so the first possibility is the wood that we're talking about is not just stam wood. Literally, it's cedar and ashuchi wood. What was unique about cedar and ashuchi wood? It was used for building. So because it was used for building, also remember the only use you would have for wood on Yom Tov is what? Fire. It's fuel. So the truth is, again, you don't burn that kind of wood. That kind of wood is too expensive. Therefore, because it's only used for building, therefore the ma'aseh, it's called muktzah machmas chisarankis. Muktzah because the object itself is expensive. And even Rabbi Shimon agrees that such a category, muktzah, would preclude its use on Yom Tov. Ike demasni la seifa. Others switch around this conversation and focus on the last part first. The Mishnah said you may not use the wood that's in the muktzah. So Rav Kahana said, what does this teach us? That you may not begin to use things that were in storage at the onset of Yom Tov, because the fact that they were in storage indicates that what? That l'maisa, you had set them aside for non-use. Money, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Huda, it's Rabbi Huda, the Islay Muktzah. Who holds the Muktzah? I, the Eima Reisha. What about the first part of the Mishnah that said, Maschilin Ba'areimas HaTeven? What about the first part of the Mishnah that says that you can begin a new pile of straw, even though l'maisa, that's a little bit like storage as well? Asun Rabbi Shimon, the Islay Muktzah. That seems to reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon, who has a more relaxed view of Muktzah, to which the Gemara says, no. Hasam betivna saria. What are we dealing with over here? We're dealing over here with literally straw that has rotted. Rashi says, tivna saria, rotted straw, nirkav, umasriach she'in ro'i lema'achal behema, v'stame le'itzim, v'lo la'achil le'vahina la'otzer. So we'll say, again, when you have rotten straw, the only thing that rotten straw is good for is what? Fuel. Fuel, because it's only good for fuel, because it's only good to for a fire. That's why you could use it on Yom Tov, because it has a clear Yom Tov purpose. How the Gemara says, 1 second, tivnis, sorry, that's not true. Even rotted straw ha-chazi letina can be used to create cement for building. So why isn't it muktzah? This because it has thorns. Apparently, again, the only type of straw that can be used to create cement is dethorned straw. But if it has thorns in there, then it's not good for straw. Therefore, the only thing it can be used for ultimately is fuel. Once everything can be used for is fuel, therefore, by definition, that makes it usable for Yom Tov. Okay, says the Mishnah. You cannot take wood from the sukkah. We're assuming right now that sukkah in this context just means a hut. Just means a hut, not a sukkah shal mitzvah. So the Mishnah says that you may not take wood from the sukkah except from that which is near to it. Now look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, in a note in Eitzim in a sukkah, kigon b'Pesach o b'Atzeres, v'yoshe b'sukkah b'gino o b'Pardes. So we'll say, what's the case over here? It's Pesach or it's Shavuos, and I'm sitting in a hut in my yard. Now it could be because I didn't take down my sukkah yet. That is a possibility. But again, it's really irrelevant for our purposes over here. The point is, it's not a sukkah shal mitzvah. It's just the hut. So I'm sitting in a hut on Yom Tov. And what happens? What is the Mishnah teaching me? A notlin eitzim min asukah. I may not go ahead and take any wood from that hut. Ela min asamachla. Except from that which is near to it. Now Rashi says, hashta mashma im avhu shenasno kanim harbe mutra lito mehem. So the way Rashi's at first understanding this is the following. I have a hut. And the hut essentially has two parts to it. There's the wood that creates the basic frame, and then there's the secondary wood, which is not part of the major frame, but is on top of the major frame. So the way we're assuming the Mishnah reads right now is you can't take wood from the major frame, from the primary frame, but you can take secondary wood on the hut itself. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna min asukah delo dekasaser ala." Says the Gemara, why can't you take wood from a sukkah on Yom Tov? Because of also it's so it's demolition. Remember, anything that you do to detract from a standing building on Shabbos and Yom Tov is considered to be, by definition, an act of demolition. So we assume the reason, why can't I take wood from the sukkah? Because it's so, because it's demolition. I mean, asamachla nami kasasar Allah. But that should be true wherever you're taking the wood from. Whether you're taking the wood from the primary frame or from the secondary wood, meaning that it's next to the primary frame, it's all part of the same structure. If it's all part of the same structure, then what? Then any removal, even of any bit of wood, should by definition be a violation of the malacha of sosra, of demolition. No. Here's the case. My samuch, what's the case of samuch? What does he mean when it says that you could take min asor from that which is near to it? Samuch l'defanos. It means close to and proximity to the walls. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Samuch l'defanos. Konim haniskathim sevivos l'defanos. We're talking now about konabos that literally are reeds. So it could be reeds, it could be small pieces of wood that are next to the walls. Kigon shelo ne'ergu im hadofen. They're not actually intertwined into the walls. And therefore, they're not bottled to the wall. So this is very interesting. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, what's the case of samuch? I have the sukkah. Now, the sukkah is made, again, because I have either wood that's put together or I have reeds that are intertwined with each other. And what's the case of samuch? I have some additional wood or additional reeds that are, let's say, on next to the wall. They're resting on the wall, but they're not part of the actual structure itself. So because they're not part of the actual structure, the Mishnah says, I may take those on Yom Tov itself, and that is not called an act of demolition, because any material that's not actually embedded or intertwined with the actual structure, by definition, will not be subject to the laws of stira if you take it away. Rav Menashe says, Afilu Teima, Ben She'in Samach Ledefanos. You could even say, Rashi says over here, Afilu Teima, Ben She'in Samach Ledefanos. Now, both sides, remember, the way that Rabbi Yehuda is understanding this is that it's actually talking about wood or reeds that's next to the walls. Dafka, not on top by the schach, by the roof. So Rav Menashe says, Afilu Teima, Ben She'in Samach Ledefanos. Rav Menashe says that this is true even without samuch l'defanos. Look at Rashi. So ela samuch l'schach. We could even be talking about wood that is next to the schach. Ki tanya hi bi isuraisa. What are we referring to, Avi Rabosai? We're dealing with bundles. Look at Rashi. Ki tanya masnisin bi isuraisa. Chavilos shalkanim. If you have bundles of reeds shenoslan ala schach that you placed on the schach. Midalo hitir eg agdon. So we'll say the Gemara gives a second answer. So answer number one is that when the Mishnah says you could take minas samuch means wood or reeds that's next to the walls, but not interwoven with the walls. And therefore, lemaisa, again, what? It's not called sosra to take them. Possibility number two is that, no, keep me talking about the schach. What's the case? I placed bundles of reeds on top of the schach of the sukkah, and I never untied the bundle. And we'll say, we saw this from our sukkah days. If you take a bundle of reeds, and you put it on top of the schach, you don't untie the bundle, that bundle never becomes bottle to the schach. If it never becomes bottle to the schach, it means what? It never becomes part of the structure. It never becomes part of the structure, then what? Then what? Then I could take it off on Yom Tov. Why? Because that's not called demolition. That's not called soser. Tanya Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Tanya Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Ein not lin eitzim min asukah. So here, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is teaching this. You may not go ahead and take wood from the sukkah, except from that which is samuch. Rabbi Shimon matir, but Rabbi Shimon permits. Rabbi Shimon permits. V'shavin b'sukas hachag b'chag sh'asura. But everyone agrees with what Rabbi said. Remember, our discussion until now has been dealing with a hut. But everyone agrees that on a sukkah, mamish a sukkah, what we call sukkas hachag, A sukkah on sukkis. Say that 10 times fast. Right? A sukkah on sukkis. Everyone agrees that what? Sha'asura. Everyone agrees that you may not take any wood from that sukkah, even minas samuch, even from that which is near. However, and we'll define that in just a moment. However, v'imhisna alel, but if you made a tanai, hakol lefi tana'o. Everyone agrees that your sukkah is governed by your condition. I will say, we'll define all these things in just a moment. Now the Gemara goes back. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So remember, what did the Braisa just say? The Braisa just said that you may not take eitzim, you may not take wood from the sukkah, except from samuch. Now remember, we had two interpretations of samuch, but Rabbi Shimon permitted. So the Gemara says, how could Rabbi Shimon permit? V'ha kasasar ohala. How could Rabbi Shimon permit you to go ahead and take wood from the sukkah? Is that not an act of demolition? Oh, what's the case? The case of Osai is a sukkah nofelas. What's a sukkah nofelas? Rashi says, shenafla biyamdo, that what are we doing? What's the case where Rabbi Shimon is matir? That the case of the sukkah fell down. The hot fell down. Most remember, this is not during sukkah. It's during the rest of the sukkah fell down. Rashi says, shenafla biyamdo, delekas tiras ohel. And Rabbi Shimon, remember, if the sukkah falls down, then what Rabbi Shimon is saying is you could take wood. Why? Because at this point in time, there's no demolition. There's no issue of stira. Why is there no issue of stira? Right? Because there's no structure anymore. Fell down. But what's the chap? Look at Rashi. The time of the Tanakamo, Mishumukta, the Habin Ashmoshos Haisa Kayemes, Umukzehi Machmas Isr Stira, Avala Samokla Lav Mukzuhu, the less famous from Stira. So also, listen to this. So the Gemara says over here, what's the case? The case is where I had a sukkah at the onset of Yom Tov, and it fell down. So Rabbi Shimon says that Lamaisa, once it fell down, you can go ahead and what? You can go ahead and use any of the wood that you want. The Tanakama holds no. You can't use any wood you want. You can only use the wood that was samuch to the primary structure at the onset of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, and now Rabbi Shimon Latame, Rabbi Shimon goes according to his previously established reasoning. Because what does Rabbi Shimon say? The lesley mukta. Rabbi Shimon, remember, Rabbi Shimon takes a more relaxed view of mukta. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, although Rabbi Shimon would agree that when the structure stood, you could only take wood, minhas samuch la. But now that it fell down, Rabbi Shimon says that at the end of the day, the structure is no longer mukta. This is comparable to a brisa which we learned. Moser Hashem and Shebener. V'shebekar, Rabbi Shimon, listen to this. Let's say you have leftover oil in a lantern or leftover oil in a bowl. Now, what is this case? This case is I had a fire burning at the onset of Shabbos or Yom Tov. And now what happened? Now the fire went out. There's leftover oil. I want to use the oil. I want to make a salad. I want to whatever I want to do with it. Right? So now I want to use leftover oil. So the Gemara says, Usser. The Brisa says, Usser, you can't. And I will say, why does the Brisa say Usser? Why does Tanakama say Usser? Because remember, according to Tanakama, the mukta status of an item is determined when? Ben Ashmashos. If it's mukta ben Ashmashos, remember we had the sugya last week. If it's mukta ben Ashmashos, even if circumstances change, the mukta status still remains. Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. Then I will say, why does Rabbi Shimon say that it's mutter? Bepashtos, the assumption is what? The assumption Rabbi Shimon holds that no, the status is not locked in Ben Ashmashos, but rather, even if something changes, even if the status was one way Ben Ashmashos, but circumstances change during the duration of Shabbos or Yom Tov, the object can actually become permissible for use. So the Gemara therefore wants to suggest over here that in the Brisa that was quoted, the reason Rabbi Shimon allows you to use the wood of the sukkah, even more than just the samukha, is why? Because the sukkah fell down. Once the sukkah fell down, it's no longer a structure. Once it's not a structure, it's no longer subject to the issue of stira, of demolition. Once it's not subject to the issue of stira, then what? Then there's no issue of muktza, and you could go ahead and use the wood as you please. To which the Gemara says, me dummy, how can you compare the case of the leftover oil to the sukkah that fell down? After all, hasam adam yoshevu mitzapeh emasai techa b'neiro, hacha adam yoshevu mitzapeh emasai tipol sukkaso. So we'll say here's a fundamental difference. In the case of the oil, there's one thing you know for sure, which is what? Which is what? Unless it's going to be another Hanukkah, right? That fire is going to go out. That fire is going to go out, which means that I know already from the beginning of Shabbos, the beginning of Yom Tov, that there's going to be leftover oil. There's always leftover oil. And therefore, Lamaisa, I have, so to speak, kavanah for that. I'm waiting for the candle to go out. And my intention is when it goes out, I'm going to use the remainder of the oil. By a sukkah, does a person sit and wait for the sukkah to fall down? Does a person have intent that the sukkah is going to fall down, and when it does, I'm going to use the wood? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchak, hacha b'sukkah ra'uha askinan. To which the Gemara essentially answers, yes, you know, we're actually dealing with a very rickety hut that a person realizes already from Yom Tov, this is probably not going to last throughout the Yom Tov. We'll say again, remember, we're not dealing with sukkis over here. Just stam, a person has a hut in his backyard. So a person, it's a sukkah ra'ua. Because sukkah ra'ua, a person knows it's going to fall down, just like a person knows that what? That the ner is going to go out, there's going to be leftover shimen, shemen. And therefore, again, what? And therefore, the cases are comparable. And therefore, it is Rabbi Shimon Lishitoso. That Rabbi Shimon goes according to his reasoning. Just like Rabbi Shimon allows you to use the leftover oil, because a person knows that even though at the onset of Shabbos, that oil is not usable, but I know it's going to become usable. That's my intent. So too with the sukkah ru'uah, the statistical probabilities that the sukkah is going to fall. When the sukkah falls, it's no longer subject to the prohibition of stira, of demolition. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says a person has intent to use that wood, in fact, when the sukkah does fall. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'shavin b'sukkos achag b'chag shi'asura v'imhisna ha'ala kol ha'fitas. What do the Brises say? But everyone agrees that when it comes to a sukkah on sukkis, when it comes to a sukkah on sukkis, that what? That lemaisa, again, it is mukta. You may not go ahead and use it unless, of course, you stipulate it. If you made a tenai, then everything goes according to your tenai. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, umi mahani batenai. I will say, what this makes it sound like is that if you made a tenai to use the wood of your sukkah, then in fact, such a tenai would work. It would allow you to use the wood of your sukkah for other purposes. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'homer of sheshes mishum Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that the wood of a sukkah is usur all 7 days? That you cannot get any benefit from the wood of the sukkah all 7 days? Shneemar, chagasukos, shivas yomim laHashem. The yom tov of sukkos is for 7 days for Hashem. V'tanya, Rabbi Yudim Meseira Omer, Rabbi Yudim Meseira says, minayin shekeshem shechal shem shekeshem shechal, excuse me, shekeshem shechal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kach chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. How do we know that in the same way that Shem Shamayim, ultimately again, that the Kedusha devolves upon Shamei Chagiga, that when you're Rebbe, when you are Makdish Shamei Chagiga, remember, Shamei Chagiga is something you bring on Yom Tov, that you can't use them for any other purpose, Chal Shem Shamayim Alav Sukkah, so too again, the sanctity of the Yom Tov devolves upon the structure of the Sukkah itself, Talmud Lomar, Chagasukos Shivas Yomim LaHashem. Therefore, it says the Yom Tov of Sukkos will be 7 days for Hashem. Machag laHashem, just as the Yom Tov is sanctified for Hashem, and which again in this case also means the Karban Chagiga, af Sukkah laHashem. So too, the Sukkah is sanctified for Hashem as well. Shabbos means what? Which means that lemaisa, you may not go ahead and use the wood for any other purpose, even if what? Even if you were to go ahead and make a tenai. Am Rav Menashe ben Edrava, Seifa Asan l'Sukkah da'alma. About sukkah de mitzvah lo mahani batna. To which the Gemara says, you're right. At the end of the day, when the Brisa spoke about the fact that if you make it tonight about your hut, you can use it for any purpose you want, that was talking about a sukkah during the rest of the year. But a sukkah on sukkis is in fact sanctified and may not be used for any other purpose, even if you made it tonight. So the Gemara says, is that true? The sukkah de mitzvah lo, is that true that if you made it tonight regarding a sukkah de mitzvah, you may not use it for something else. But we learned, if you went ahead and you made a sukkah appropriately, and you adorned it with colored cloths or with all types of different sheets with pictures on them, and you adorned it, you hung in it, you know, nuts and almonds and afarsikim are peaches, rimonim, pomegranates, parchili, anovim, clusters of grapes, yenos, shmonim, slosos. Again, I'm also you're actually adorning, you're decorating yourself with all types of food items, with wine, with oil, with fine flowers, ataros shibolim, wreaths of grain. You may not eat any of these items until when? Until Sukkis is over. And yet what? And yet if you made a Tanai, Rav Osai, then everything goes according to your Tanai. So what do you see from here? That you can make a Tanai regarding even the sanctity of your Sukkah. Abai and Rav both said, we'll say, what's the case over here? When can you go ahead and eat your decorations? And both say, that's only if you said, I am not separating myself from them all bein hashmashos. And both say, now what does that mean? See, essentially what we're saying over here is if a person had kavana during bein hashmashos to go ahead and eat these items, then what? That's when the kedusha does not set in. Because remember, again, the identity of any item for mukta purposes is forged bein hashmashos. So if bein hashmashos, I make the declaration that literally, I'm not separating myself from these objects, but I'm still going to eat these items, then by definition, the sanctity never devolves upon the decorations. And if that's the case, then I have the ability to partake of them all of Yom Tov. Aval atzei sukkah, dechalu kiddusha alayu, But Rav say when it comes to the actual wood of the sukkah, where the kedusha devolves upon them during Bein Hashmoshos at the onset of Sukkos, then the mice again they do in fact become mukta, and that mukta status remains the entire time. Rav say that we'll have to stop over here, just because we're leaving off mid sentence, but we'll pick up the Mirat Hashem here tomorrow morning. No, Rosh Chodesh. Yes, 5:45 tomorrow. Thank you. 5:45.
So exactly.